I'm so proud of our missionaries, and I'm so thankful to God that we get to be part of what they're doing in the world. And today's Life-Giving Sunday, where we raise a bunch of money. We're going to try to raise $250,000 today by God's grace to support what they're doing, to support ministries in town like Hope Works and Agape, and ministries in other parts of this country like Timothy Hill, and then those missionaries you saw on the screen. And you know, I know that, like, even if I didn't talk about them, y'all would just give the $250,000. You're so committed to this. And so I'm a bit torn today, because there's this task, this holy task of raising money to support missions out there. And there's also, like, right here, and there's the hurt that some of us feel today. A little over 12 years ago, I was interviewing for a job. It was this job. And the leader of the search committee that brought me here was a guy named Brent Reagan. And my first meal in Memphis was at Brent and Laura Reagan's house around the island in their kitchen. And she had made this, just the island was just covered with food. Like, she had made so much food, the kind of food that only a Southern lady can make, you know, the kind of spread that only a Southern lady can prepare. And I ate way more than I was hungry for, because I wanted to impress him. And she kept putting food in front of me, and I was like, yes, I would love more. This is the best I've ever had. And it was my first meal in Memphis at Brent and Laura Reagan's house. And as Buster said a few minutes ago, Brent passed away unexpectedly Friday. And I'm struggling with that, for sure. And so I've been, you know, thinking about, like, how is what we're doing out there connected to what we're doing right here? And praying about that. I didn't know what to say. I was thinking a lot about it this morning. I was sitting at my table drinking coffee, just praying about it. And there was these three birds. Lindsay has a bird feeder right outside the breakfast table window. There was these three birds. And they were kind of going back and forth between the bird feeder, where they would get the seed they wanted or needed, and then to this bird bath that she has right there. And just back and forth, they would go to the feeder and then back to the bird bath and fill their bellies at the feeder, back to the bird bath where they would dance. And I was just struck watching that, like, they have no part in making sure seed is in that feeder. Lindsay does it. And they have no part in making sure water is in that bath. The rain does it. I don't even feel that thing. Right, and I thought about what Jesus said. You're going to remember this in Matthew. Jesus says this. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? And so last night I was with Miss Laura and the boys, Connor and Garrett. And I walk into the house, and they're on that same bar that I ate at 12 years ago, that she had filled with food that I didn't prepare. It was a mountain of food that she didn't prepare, and that people from this church had put there on the bar. And we prayed together and talked and we cried together. And as I was leaving, one of those sweet ladies, the lady from this church, had her plate ready, Miss Laura's plate ready. And she said, Miss Laura, it's time to come eat. And Miss Laura came and sat down at a table to a plate she had not prepared, and she ate. And I thought, the Lord is in this place, and he will give to her and to us exactly what we need. That's what I'm counting on. Yeah, I'm counting on that. And so I told Miss Laura, I said, you know, Miss Laura, tomorrow's missions contribution. And you want to know, man, maybe the hardest thing about this day today is that Brent and Laura Reagan are some of our biggest supporters of missions at Highland. She told me last night, she said, Eric, I cannot tell you how much joy it gave Brent to support missions. When our youth group would do special make-a-wish things where they would raise money to help bless some kids, you know, part of our mission efforts, Brent Reagan would create jobs for the kids to come and do, and then he would pay them way more than they were worth so that they could raise money for Make-A-Wish. We would do it all the time. There were several times that our missionaries had needs, and I tapped on Brent Reagan without anybody knowing and said, Brent, can you help with this? And he said, absolutely, I want to do that. And so I told Miss Lori yesterday, I said, what do you want me to do? You want us to just pray and worship and do something different? You want us to go ahead with Mission Sunday? And she said, Eric, make me a deal that you will go ahead with Mission Sunday. I said, are you sure? And she said, make me a deal. So I made her a deal. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to trust that the Lord is going to give to her and to us exactly what we need. The topic that I am going to talk about today is friendship. And it comes from 3 John 5-8. And how that's connected to missions, I hope I'm going to show you here. But it's especially hard for me because Brent was my good friend. He was my good friend. And I know he was for many of you too. So, let me talk to you about the beauty of friendship in Christ Jesus. Look at this. 3 John 5-8. John says to his friend Gaius, look at this. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. And so we ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. C.S. Lewis has this great line. Ooh, we need C.S. Lewis right now. C.S. Lewis has this great line. He says, you want to know what friendship is? He says, friendship is this. It's two words. You two. He says, that's friendship right there. You two. It's when you find somebody and you realize you share something with them. And the two of you are looking at that thing together. And as you look at that thing together, it draws you two closer together. My youngest deacon, we were at T-ball practice the other day, and Jack Clemens is on his T-ball team. So Jack Clemens is Trey and Brittany's son and Buster and Kim's grandson. Buster, our executive minister, and Jack and Deacon have been friends a long time. And so we're at practice. Deacon's at shortstop. Jack Clemens comes up to bat. I'm at the pitcher's mound organizing, trying to herd these cats. And there's another dad behind me, not from Highland, another dad on the team, though, and he's standing beside Deacon. And as Jack comes up to bat, I hear Deacon say to this dad, that right there is my longest friend, he said. And I thought that was the funniest word he used, my longest friend. He said, we've been friends since we were in the nursery. He doesn't remember that. We've just told him that, right? That's just part of the story. Y'all have been friends since you were in the nursery together. This is what he said. He says, that right there is my longest friend. We've been friends since we were in the nursery. I love him, he said. And that dad said, cool. What do you say to that? The other day, I snapped this photo of them in worship. So he was sitting behind me with the Clemens family in worship, Lindsay and I, and Deacon and Jack were beside each other, and it was a time for prayer. Somebody was praying. And so they were sitting there in the seat, and so Deacon goes for the prayer hands, and Jack puts his arms around Deacon, one arm around Deacon, okay? So in the picture, Deacon's got prayer hands like this, and Jack's got one arm around him, and he realizes, Jack, I'm sure, that he also needs to do prayer hands. But he's got one hand around his buddy. So what does he go with? The karate chop. So Jack's like this. Karate chop prayer. Man, God loves the karate chop prayer. And I love that picture, right? It's because it's these two boys, shoulder to shoulder, focused on something else. And it's actually the something else that binds them together. You know, it's not just that they love each other. They have the kingdom in common. That's what binds them. And this is what binds us together. Have you ever been out somewhere, maybe at a restaurant or something, or at a ball game like that, and you see somebody from Highland, And you know them, but you can't place their name. You know what I'm talking about? Have you had this experience? Yes. And so you're looking at her and you're like, what is her name? And she's looking at you and you know what she's thinking? What is his name? Right? And eventually you both decide, I'm just going to play it cool. And you go up and you're like, hey, sister. It's so good to see you, brother. How are things? The family, they good? You know that experience, right? Okay, you can't quite place them, but you know you have something in common with them. There's a bond that tethers you two together. You don't even know what it is. Is it Jesus? Yeah, it's Jesus. Is it the Spirit? Yeah, it's the Spirit. But you actually share those in common with the body of Christ around the world. You share those in common with everybody. What is it you share in common? What is it that binds us together right here? And I think what John would say, as he says to Gaius, is that one of the big things that binds us together right here is what we do today. That today we're shoulder to shoulder, investing in, focused on the mission of Jesus Christ together. And that as we look out there together, something's actually happening to us right here. That's it. So look back at this passage with me. Let me show you the beginning and end. Just draw your attention to this. Look at this. Sorry, the waterworks are getting to me there. Look at 3 John 5. Dear friend, he says, you are faithful in what you're doing. What's he doing? Well, what Gaius is actually doing is that missionaries, we know they're missionaries because it says they've gone out for the sake of the name, not receiving help from anybody else. So they're people who've gone out into the world. The world's not paying them to do it. They've gone out into the world simply to magnify and glorify the name of Jesus. They've come through town, and Gaius has received them into his home, fed them, welcomed them to the island in his kitchen where he's fed them, and then he sent them on their way with money in their pockets to continue the mission. So John hears about this, and he writes to his friend. This is what he says. He says, dear friend, you're faithful in what you're doing. And then at the end of the passage, he says this about what he's doing. He says, as you do it, we are working together for the truth. And so this is one of maybe the most important passages in Scripture about joining in, supporting missionaries in the mission of Jesus around the world. And what I want you to see is the bookends, the brackets on either side of the passage are the language of what? Friendship, partnership. That Gaius, as you're doing this thing for them, something is actually happening between you and me too. Something's happening between you and me. I've been so taken with this passage over the last few weeks that over the next few years, the next 2 years, I'm gonna come back to this passage during every special contribution. I'm gonna talk about dynamics going on here. Let me show you. There's at least three. I'm gonna talk about the fourth though today. And that is that we support missions in part because of, number one, what I'll call the name of Jesus. That what happens when missionaries go out into the world is that the name of Jesus gets magnified and glorified. And in a few months, I'll talk about why that matters. But secondly, we support missionaries because they have a need. He's really specific here. These are people that actually aren't getting paid by their workplace to do this. The world doesn't want them to do it. Nobody else is supporting them. And so there's a need for Christians to rise up and support them because for them, nobody else will. Okay. And then the truth, and number three, is he says that as we do this together, you and I, as we give to missions, what actually happens is that the truth expands in the world. And we live in a time where we desperately need truth, right? But today I want to talk with you about what I'll call the bond. That as we invest out there, something's happening right here. Okay. Some of you are going to recognize this young lady. This is Caitlin Clark. Okay, if you've been following basketball at all, especially college basketball, you've seen Caitlin Clark. She's the best college basketball player to ever live, male or female, high-scoring basketball player that's ever lived and went to Iowa, just got drafted to the WNBA. The reason I show her picture is I was reading an interesting article about her a few weeks ago, and let me hit you with this stat, okay? When Iowa, her team, loses, when they lose, she scores an average of 31 points a game. When they win, she scores an average of 28 points a game. Isn't that something? Did you hear it? When they lose, she scores 31 points. When they win, she scores how much? 28 points. That is not what you would expect, is it? That they're actually a better team when she does less and they all do more together. Now, that may, when you think about it that way, not be that shocking to you, because you've heard the same thing if you're in like corporate America before. You've heard that, hey, we're all better when we're sharing the load. When we're all doing our part and working together, we're gonna accomplish more. You've heard that before. You've heard that if you've ever been a part of a little league game. I've given that speech to my players 1,000 times to no effect. Absolute zero effect. We're in this together, boys. Okay, cool. But if you've been in the workplace, you've heard the term synergy before. Have you ever seen this term before, synergy? Yeah, it's like corporate speak, isn't it? What synergy means is that when we work together on something, we're actually going to accomplish more than we even think possible. So normally we would say something like this, that 1 + 1 = 2, but there's this kind of power that takes place when we're working together so that what we do or what we bring to the table is actually magnified or multiplied so that somehow 1 + 1 = 3. Okay, that's really what synergy is about. Don't send me any emails about that. I know that's not how it works. Okay, that's the idea of synergy. Now, here's what I want to show you. Come back with me to this passage, 3 John 8. Look what John says to Gaius. When Gaius is giving a mission, he says this. He says, when you're doing this, we work together for the truth. And you know the word he uses? Synergy. That's it. He's saying to Gaius, hey, Gaius, when you're doing this, things are happening that you don't even realize. You know, the bond that's forming between us, between the body of Christ, the strength that is formed here, as you and I give to these missionaries together, you don't even realize the magnifying, multiplying effect of that gift happening right here. And I think Gaius would say, like, I don't know that that's, you know, that I'm doing that much. All I did was, you know, feed them dinner and put some money in their pocket. I don't know that I'm a coworker. And I don't know that I'm really in this. I barely did anything. But John's saying, no, if you are supporting the mission of Jesus, you are in it. You are in it fully. You are a co-worker with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is binding us together as you do it, right? And that's, I think, what missions are about. And it's the dynamic of missions that we don't really think enough about. You know, as we give, let's say you give $10, he gives 20 and 30, what's that make? 60. That's going to happen today is that you and I are going to give money and that money is going to add up to a sum. And we're going to use that sum of money to help Papua New Guinea and the work that's taking place there and help China and the work that's taking place there. What you don't realize is something else is being added together. That this bond of friendship is being formed between you and me here. The word that John uses when he talks to Gaius about what he's doing in ministry, he calls him dear friend. It's one word in Greek. The word is beloved. Beloved. That somehow, by the grace and the mysterious power of Jesus Christ, when John and Gaius do this thing together, that what is formed is more than the sum of the money they gave the missionaries, that what is formed right here is a bond between them two that is the bond of love and is unbreakable. There's a strength in that bond that happens right here. And this isn't just in 3 John. This is all over in the New Testament. When the earliest church, in Acts chapter 2, we're told that they were bound together. They had everything in common. They were filled with joy while they did what? While they witnessed in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. What's he saying? Right, like as they were committed together to the mission of Jesus, something actually happened between them. Or you come with me here to Romans 16. Paul makes this list of people who he calls synergies, co-workers. 3 times he uses that word in Romans 16. And then he uses the same word we see here, beloved. Here in this passage, he uses that in Romans 16 to talk about the people who have supported his mission work. He says they are his beloved, he says. And when Paul writes to the Philippians from jail, we think that he's going to be really depressed. Instead, he says this, look at this. I thank my God Every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel that you and I have from the first day until now. What's the partnership? Well, he says it in Philippians 4. In the early days, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Look at that. What bonded them together? Well, it was that they gave to the mission. And that formed in Paul a deep love, a deep sense of joy and support, which is, of course, what we want to feel here, don't we? You know, we sent a church plant out 2 years ago, the Oikos Church, and they're doing so great. I got a picture from Reed and Smith, two of their ministers, of a baptism of a college student from University of Memphis last week. They're just doing so great. And I'll tell you, though, if you want to kind of do a self-examination as a minister of your motivations for being in this, what you're really after, send away 75 of your people and ask yourself how you feel. Right? It's tough. It was hard. Strangest thing, though. The last 2 years at the Highland Church have been, in our 100-year history, two of the most significant years in terms of the blessing of the Lord Jesus here. Amen. In more ways than I can count, in the bonds that we share together, in the kingdom work that we have done out there, in the resources given, the monies raised, the lives changed, the number of baptisms. I don't know that we have had another 2 years in the 100-year history of the Highland Church that have been as fruitful and abundant as these 2 years. And it comes on the heels of us doing a very hard thing for the mission of Jesus Christ. Why? Because when we join together in the mission of Jesus, he, by his power, binds us together. That's what he does. You know, C.S. Lewis said, he said this. He said, the thing about friendship is that those two words, you two, he said, lovers, a husband and a wife, the thing about them is they're looking at each other face to face. It's all about her. For her, it's all about him. But friends are shoulder to shoulder, looking at something else together. And what makes that bond of friendship shoulder to shoulder so strong, think about Deacon and Jack, arms around each other, karate chop in prayer, hands together in prayer hands. What makes the bond of friends so strong, shoulder to shoulder, is not how close they are together, it's what they're looking at together. What they're doing together, what they are focused on together, that is the thing that builds us up and binds us together as the people of God. And this is a week when the people of God need each other. So I made Miss Laura a deal that I was not going to stop Mission Sunday. And I just want to ask you and tell you, when you give, you're building up this body. And like I saw last night, this body is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. The Lord will give us everything that we need together. Let me pray for us. God, our prayer is that you would be glorified above all else. In this moment, I want to lift up to you, Miss Laura, Garrett and Connor, their wives. I pray for that whole family, God. I pray that they would not sense a moment apart from you. And that, God, we would bind around them for your sake and glory. And together, God, we think about our missionaries today. We think about the work of Jesus they are doing all over the world, expanding the name of Jesus, pushing your truth into arenas of darkness. God, as we give towards them, would you strengthen us here and bind us together? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.